Let's talk a little bit about about Pinchas. You know, I heard from my father, it's one of the only Kabbalah secrets that I heard from my father. He said like this. He says, L'kim zoyem b'chol yoyim, that God is angry every day. That there's a moment in every period of 24 hours where everything goes back to, I guess, a potential, or like a change of polarity, or some kind of a switch, a resetting of the switch. And in order for that to happen, God has to go into Gevurah for a moment. So that moment of Gevurah is a moment of withholding, of stopping, of anger, of whatever, however you understand divine, infinite Gevurah. So one of Bilam's Groisa Chochmas was that he could calculate. He could calculate which moment in every 24 is that moment where God is angry. So his plan was that he would say Arur, curse, in that moment. So if he had managed to say that, you know, word in that moment, and he had the kavana on the Yidden, he would have woken up the accuser, who, you know, everybody has an accuser who has a really good memory of everything you ever did wrong. So at that moment, had Bilam been able to shout his Arur, then it would have been very bad for us. So what did God do? That day, he changed the Hanhoga of the universe. He changed the order of creation. On that 24-hour period, there was no moment of Gevurah, so that Bilam tried in vain to bring his plan to fruition. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being so tuned in to the universe that you can be aware, that you can calculate the split second in which God adjusts the straps, so to speak, puts in the fuse or whatever, however, whatever metaphor you want to think of. So Bilam is at the Madrega Yoidea Das Elyon. He's Yoidea Das Elyon. It's hard to imagine even what that means. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say Yoidea Das Elyon. Somebody who is so connected in Yediyah, in knowing, you know, and everything we've said over the years about Yediyah, about Das. So here, this 24-hour period goes through the entire thing without one moment of Gevurah in it. And you know something? There was one Yidula, there was one Yid from all the Yidden who knew what was going on. There was somebody who was as tuned in to the Seder and the Hanhoga of the universe. He was so tuned in that he knew the whole Hanhoga of the universe is changed. And there's no Gevurah. There's no holding back. You know what there is? There's only Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibone. So that person, the Yidl, who knew that there's a new Hanhoga in the world without any boundaries, that was the prince, the Nosi of the Shevet Shimon, it was Zimri ben Saul. So Mamela, my father said, that was why Zimri said, oh, there's a whole new way. There's a whole new Hanhoga in the universe. All the old rules, they don't apply. It's like, I know now what I'm supposed to do. So he was like, Chera, it may take you a while to catch up, but listen, this is what we need to do now. So he's also Yodei Das Elyon. He also has sensitivities. Trouble is, his sensitivities were no more useful to him than Bilam's sensitivities were useful to him. You know, I've been thinking a lot this week about in one of the Torahs in Perek Dalad, we wrote about the mirrors, and I said originally, could you press the star and number 6 key? So we talked about Yechevet and the mirrors. We said, Issa B'medesh, it's written, Vayeda Odom Oides Ishtoi, and Odom knew his wife more. So the Medesh says, Netoisif Loitav Al Tavosoi. So what does it mean after 130 years, Odom knows his wife more or again? That he was given a new Tavos. In the past, only when he was with Chava, im loy hoye roye loy hoye misave. If he didn't see her, then he didn't want her. Achshav bein roye bein she'ena roye. Now, he's given a new kind of desire, whether he sees her, whether he doesn't see her. So I wanted to say, that Pasuk says in the Sheis, on the Sheis Gamhu Yolad Bein, Ayikrishmoi Enosh. So Sheis also has a son. He also gives birth, and he calls the name of his son Enosh, Oz Huchal Likroi B'Shem Hashem. And then it was that, I mean, it's a euphemism. It says, then they started to call in the name of God, and the Chazal say that means that was the beginning of Avodah Zorah. And the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zorah, starts B'mei Enosh To, B'nei Odom To, because it was in the time of Enosh that people made this terrible mistake, and they start to worship the sun and the moon. I mean, thinking, you know, what's the connection? What's the connection between Adam having this new kind of desire and Enosh worshiping idols? And we were learning in the story of Tamar. We were learning that really, no, I don't think it was Tamar. It was in the story of Ruth. We were talking about the Madrega of Adam Arishon Koidem Achet. Now, Adam Arishon, before the sin, it says, and let's read it inside. It says, The Ora Chaim asks, Lama loy ochal Adam tchilim Eitzah Chaim? Why didn't Adam first eat from the Eitzah Chaim? V'gam loshen gam. God says, Hein ha'odam hoya ke'echad mimen. Oy, behold, look, man has become like one of us. V'ato, and now, pen yishlach yodoy, perhaps he'll stretch out his hand, v'lokach gam Eitzah Chaim, and he'll take also now from the Eitzah Chaim v'ochal, and he'll eat it v'chai le'olam. So the Rebbe Rabbunim asks, what's this inyan of gam? And also there are many other questions. So he answers, Ochei nero lefarish ki hine ike brias kala oilemus hu ha'odam. The chief creation of all the worlds is Adam. Shehaboyre boro es ha'oilem b'chochmosai, God created the world in his chochmah, o boro gam kein Adam, she is boinein ha'odam b'masa ha'boyre. So God creates the world with chochmah, and then creates a creature that can appreciate the chochmah. She is boinein ha'odam b'masa ha'boyre, v'yire goydel chochmosu le'ein shir le'ein erach. So a human being has bina, and with this bina, with this understanding, a person can be misboinein chochmah. So God doesn't just create the world with chochmah, but then takes the extra step of creating a creature that can appreciate the creation. She is born in Adam b'masa haboyde v'yire goydel chochmosu le'ein shir le'ein erach. This creature then is capable of appreciating the infinite chochmah that exists in everywhere that you look. U'mikoydem achet hoy Adam is born b'kol eisu b'chol rega. So before the chet, before the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge, Adam was misboinein. He was in that place of understanding what was going on. So everywhere Adam looks, he can appreciate the chokhmah of creation. So that is the unity, it's a unification, it's a congruousness. Adam Arishoin really gets it. Every conscious moment, he's aware of God's chokhmah in creation. Shekol chelkei hanefesh hoyu mizboininim b'chokhmas Hashem mizboin. Every part of his mind, whether he was listening to the birds, to the wind, whether he was listening to the fish, the animals, or whether he was listening to Chava, his wife, or whether, what doesn't matter what he was listening to, the wind in the trees, he could hear the Chochmah. And if he was looking, whatever he was looking at, whether he was looking at the mountains, whether he was looking at himself, whether he was looking at the fish, it didn't matter what he was tasting, what he was feeling, everything, Adam Arishon was plugged in. He was connected. He was integrated. He was a part of the machine that understands the machine. Just like you have a mind, and your mind is watching your body all the time. And there's different parts of your mind that are listening to your heartbeat and listening to your liver function and so on. And then there's that part that we call consciousness, which is aware generally overall of how your body feels and so on. So Adam Arishon is like the mind of the world. He is tuned in to how the world is feeling. V'nimtza, so it comes out, Shigam Yediya Loi Ho Yeloi. So Adam Arishon did not have any idea. He couldn't synthesize. It's like you can be aware and you can be aware that you're aware. But are they different awarenesses can you be aware in which part of your mind you're being aware? No. Somebody else can look inside your brain and say, oh, that's where the activity is happening, but you can't. You can only be aware. Adama Rishon could only be aware of the world, but he couldn't know with Yediyah. He couldn't synthesize. Because in order to synthesize, he would have to have a look at himself in a certain way that would take his focus off everything else. That he was incapable of doing. So, Kikol Atzmus HaNefesh Hoye Melubish B'Hizbananes Hazeh B'Chol Eisvereg. Because the self that we think of, that I have, that I think of me, and you think of that you have, think of you, that self of Adam Arishin was wrapped in awareness of everything else. Ochein achahachet, however, after the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, even though a person is occasionally, from time to time, capable of getting there, ein zu betmidus, person can't be there on a constant basis. Person is obliged, is forced, cannot escape knowing that they are aware. As soon as you know that you're aware, then there's a split. V'zeh Pirush, Rabbunim goes on to say, Heino Adam Hoye Ke'echad Mimani. Oh, look, man has become like one of us. Ritzono Loimer, Ke'echad. God is saying, look, God doesn't mean that man has become a god, but that, look, man has become like one of us. Like one of us, meaning, Ke'echad b'fnei atzmo shu yudea ma'i hezbanan is hazeh. Oy, Nebuch Adam now realizes that he is one. That he's not part of everything. Because that's the price of awareness, is that we no longer feel seamless with everything else. We feel individuated. And the price of individuation is that we feel unique and single and cut off. Now, V'atapen yishlach yodoy v'ochel gamei etzachayim, the Rebbe Rabbunim says, so what does it mean? Now, perhaps, he will take and eat also from the tree of life. Meaning, etzachayim v'atofel elav, it's going to be also. V'ochel haynu gashmius, v'chai la'oylam haynu rochnis. So now Adam is going to take this occasional awareness, and he's going to be stuck in it forever. And he'll never ever be able to get back to that purity of awareness where we can let go of the self and simply become part of the bigger whole. The Dvorim Elu Amukim, the Rebbe Rabbunim finishes by saying these words are very deep. The E.F. Shalafar Shesa, and we just can't explain it any deeper than this. So, Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, if Adam HaRishon is like this, that he can't really know, then what does it mean that he knows his wife? What does it mean that he and Chava have a relationship, and they give birth to Cain and Hevel. So this brings us back to what the Ishbitzer was saying, right? That when a person is doing b'machshava, when a person is doing, you know, b'kavono, a person has in mind all kinds of things, then he can do it only in so much and so far as he's capable of having his kavono. But if a person will allow God to work through him, let God do the kavono. And the Ishbitzer was talking about Malchus Beis Yehuda and how Yehuda and Tamar get together in such a way that Yehuda doesn't have any kavonas, he's not thinking any holy thoughts, and that allows God to do the thinking. Right? So this is what the Medrash says later. Previously, Adam, when he saw his wife, he had desire for her. And when he didn't see his wife, he had no desire for her. And this fits in with what the Rabbanim was saying, that Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, he's in his bonness, he's in appreciation. Whatever comes through Adam's peripheral vision, into his vision, whatever he can see, whatever he hears an echo of, it's all processed, right? So when he sees Chava, then she's his mate, then he can mate with her, right? But the idea that he should be able to walk away from her and think about her when she's not there, that he can't do. Because in this sense, Adam is like a behemoth. All he is sensory equipment. Whatever he's looking at, listening to, whatever he's eating or tasting, or whatever he's touching, that's his bondedness that he's in. So now, he's been separated 130 years from Chava, and he can't really get back together with her anymore. So the Torah tells us, "Vayeda Adam oides Chava ishtoi, nitoisef loi tav al tavosoi." So now he gets some new kind of tav. So I wanted to make the connection with Enosh. What happens to Enosh? B'dor Enosh, everybody made this horrible mistake that instead of worshipping God, the Rambam says, they say to themselves, you know, if God gave so much honor to his servants, we should honor them too. If God gave so much power to the Son, we should honor the sun. If God gave so much beauty to the moon, we should honor the moon, and so on. The next thing you know, they're making temples to the sun and bowing down to the moon. How does that get from there to there? Because when Adam was in Gan Eden before the Chet, then he's not Yodea Das Elyon. There's no Yodea. There's no Das. There's no knowing. There's no awareness of awareness. And what is Das, right? I'm thinking about a problem, and I'm in my mind, I'm putting this piece with that piece of the jigsaw, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, Avada, that's it. That's a moment of das. What happened? I synthesized something I knew with some knowledge that I had, some chokhmah, some wisdom, we call it. with some bina, some understanding, and it came together all of a sudden. Ah, now I know. I have flash. I make the connection, we say in English. The connection, that's das. Holam, before the chait, he didn't have those kind of moments. Because he didn't stop to think about what he's thinking. It wasn't necessary. He was plugged in and tuned in all the time. He would have had to have had an overload, and he didn't have an overload. He had such a big mind, he could really absorb and process everything. Now, he's got awareness. Now, he's got Chochma and Bina operating separately. Now, he's got right side of the brain firing like this, and the left side of the brain firing like that. And he's got, you know, he's got all kinds of stuff happening. Now it's possible for him to have das. And what's the what does God do? He says, I'm kicking you out of the Gan Eden. Das now has to go into Golas. And so das goes into Golas. God says to Avram, Yodoya Teda, you should know that you know. And so we come into Egypt and then we don't know. Vanachnu loy neida. So the whole Golas of Mitzrayim is the Golas of God. So here, you have the Dor Enosh. They're not tuned into God, frankly. They don't have that Chochma operating where it's like, whoo, look at that, look at that. They're not like children. They're not childlike. They're very adult. What they are is they're disconnected. They have objectified God. They have Das. Who's the ultimate objectifier of God? Is Bilam. So here comes along Balak and says to Bilam, I need an Eitza, I need some kind of advice. And how to stop these Yidden coming through here. How can I stop them bringing Mashiach? He knows it's connected to him, right? You've got to stop them from me, this is a mamash tragedy. They weren't shepherding him. Al Totzeres Moav, we were told not to chepper with Moav, to walk around them, but Balak was afraid because he could see Ruth was going to come out of him and the whole Zer of Mashiach and everything. He wants to stop it. So Bilam says to him, Eloheim shol elu soinezimu. The God of these, he hates licentious behavior. So here's my advice. So what is it that these girls have that proves mamish, like the Torah says, vayitzomid lebal po'er, and they became yoked. They became yoked to this avodah zarah, which was so disgusting. Baal Peor, the Midrash says, I mean, what the women did is that they would invite these young men to come and eat. And for them, all their food contained ex-lax, senna pods, whatever it is, some kind of stuff. So the men would eat and they'd say, excuse me, I need to go. I need to go to the toilet. And they'd say, oh, here, we have a toilet right here. And these Yiddish kiddo, they didn't know that was the avodah zarah of Midian, Moab. It was called Baal Peor. And that's what you used to do. That was the avodah. That was the way you worshipped. You turned your back on this God and and you went to the toilet. Now, what could possibly be about this? I mean, it's gestunken, yeah? I mean, because the place smelled like a toilet. The Avodah Zorah was disgusting. I mean, the only Avodah Zorah that could be worse than this was Baal Zavuv, right? Which where they worshipped the flies. So what possibly were you summit to say that all these young men became mamish riveted to this Avodah Zorah, right? How it doesn't make sense. I mean, what is the pitui of this Avodah Zorah? But if we understand where we're coming from in this chain, the Bilam is the Yodea Das Elyon. That is, the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim was the recovery of Das, of knowing, so that we know. There was something about, maybe there was something about Baal Peor that could overcome that feeling of being in the knowing, and that felt like it wasn't real, but it mamash, it felt like going back somewhere to something really primal where there's no thinking being happening, or there's no awareness, or like there's no, it's not a, I guess, I mean, if there ever was an anti-intellectual Avodah Zorah, I mean, you got to say, these Canaanite Avodah Zorahs, they're not about thinking, are they? So Zimri, who we know, was from Shevet Shimon, in the Ishbitz it says numerous times that the Shevet Shimon, that they represent the holiest. They are the most holy of all the tribes. And that's why they get tested constantly in the sexuality, because they have to go through the Birurim, because Levi didn't want to marry Dina. He said, I'm not sure that my Kavona, when my Kavona, Shimon says, 100%, I'm 100% a tzaddik, I know 100% God wouldn't, I'm going to marry you, yeah, I'm married. So then he has to go through the Birurim. So he's Mevura, he's the holiest. I mean, these are the, you know, it says, V'heima boichim pesachoy, Moshe Aaron are standing in front of the Oyel Moed crying. Because they know that what's happening here is happening in such a, it's like it's happening at the gates of Gan Eden. It's like people are trying to break down the door and get back in. And it's not right, and it's not the right time, and it's not the right way. And you can't get back into Gan Eden by worshipping Baal Peor, for goodness sake. But when they're in it, they think, for sure, right? I was reading somewhere about this a man who tries heroin for the first time, you know, and he's keeping a diary. And he's trying heroin for the first time, and he says, this is so beautiful, I'm going to bring up my children on heroin. You know, and I read this, and I thought to myself, I know exactly what you mean. It's like something so beautiful, such a gewalt feeling of fullness and beauty, and there's no questions, and everything's so gewalt. It's like, oh, yeah, of course I want my children to have this, right? I mean, a sober person laughs to hear such a thing. But when you think about where it's coming from, so these B'nai Shimon, or the Shevet Shimon, you know, what they think that they're going somewhere. And their Nosi, Zimri, he thinks he's got a whole new derech in Avodas Hashem. I just want to say there's one chiddush that I was mechadish many years ago, and I feel that it needs to be said that, you know, when Pinchas was about to kill Zimri and Cosby, Avada, he made a brocha, yeah? Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher kidishonu b'mitzvoso v'tzivonu lekadesh shmoy b'rabim. So the only person who had more kavona than Pinchas when he made this brocha was Zimri when he answered Amen. Where it says, had Zimri at that moment fought back and killed Pinchas, then Pinchas would have been the roidev, and Zimri would have been, he would have been a potter, right? He would have just been saving himself. So my chiddush is that the reason that he didn't save himself is because in that moment he could see that Pinchas was mamish in love with Zimri. The kanis kinosi b'seicham, and so when Pinchas makes the brocha shekidishon b'mitzvoisav to do his mitzvah, Zimri answers Amen, b'kol koich.